It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
C-Mac, the Snake Man, Chad Brown.
The Snake Man.
Well, you did do the shirtless with the, was it an anaconda or boa constrictor?
It was a boa constrictor,
That was kind of that moment for you.
When Nike,
you were glistening.
I had a couple of years of custom shoes for me. They did a little snake logo on the back that was pretty dope.
Yeah, but like, I was talking to Earl about the Blue Arrow nickname. Like, there's types of snakes that, you know, would be cooler than just being Snake Man.
Yeah, and the name of my media company is Anaconda Media. Why not be the biggest, baddest snake that's possible?
Why not be the big anaconda?
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but you can't make up your own nickname.
I know, not really.
So, you know, in the hood where I'm from, I don't think they actually knew the proper name.
So you wanted to be called the Anaconda.
Or something cool like that, but I was just Snake Man.
Right, yeah. Which is okay.
It sucks, actually.
It's like Jake the Snake. See, Jake the Snake sounds cooler than Snake Man.
Right, Jake the Snake always had boas when he came out. What's the rock star who had the snakes? Alice Cooper.
Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking of the wrestler.
Jake the Snake, right.
Yeah.
But Alice Cooper, another snake guy, performer, always had boas when he came out.
Yeah, but nobody's called the Anaconda.
No. Mm-mm. That'd have been cool.
It's got another kind of fun reference, too, so.
Yeah. Mm. It's got multiple layers to it.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders, what do you like about Vic Fangio?
You know, I like Vic as a coach. He's not going to let the small things go. And I like Joe Flacco as a quarterback, you know. I didn't know too much about him, but just being around him the past, you know, couple weeks, you know, he's very confident in himself. He definitely knows how to throw the football. He definitely knows how to play the game. And I'm actually excited for him to play in this offense with Rich, our new offensive coordinator. It's going to be a zone scheme, play action type offense, taking shots down the field, and we still have Philip Lindsay. So I'm excited about, you know, combining that with Vic's, you know, defense, and we're going to see how, you know, we can come together as a team, bond, and see where the chips fall from there and see if we can, you know, win a lot of games this year and get into the playoffs and hopefully make a run for it.
It's a different sounding Emmanuel Sanders right there. I like that Emmanuel Sanders.
He was very optimistic, like Vaughn was yesterday.
Yeah.
A little bit more expansive, but very optimistic.
Yep. Good. Cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get behind what's going on. It's tough, though. I mean, I saw the schedule predictors. Nobody has. I haven't seen many people with the Broncos better than. I haven't seen one person project the Broncos to be in the playoffs.
I have not seen that either. Now, here on the station, I think
Zach was actually a little bit more optimistic about
Zach
it.
Zach was 9-7.
Okay.
I think Stink was 8-8. I think Stoke had them maybe 7-9, 6-10.
I think he had them 6-10.
6-10. Yeah.
Well, you can see
both
that.
Both you and I had 8-8.
We both had 8-8. You can see all of our predictions. Johnny's done a nice little thing online at 1043thefan.com. And we are excited about the draft where we'll be. We haven't officially announced where we'll be. I don't think so. All right. But we got plans. We'll let you know. Draymond Jones. Okay, Chad. I think we've got to give people some names about some guys here to get ready for the draft, because as we figure out what they're going to do, it seems to me that some sort of defensive end is in the mix. So, Ohio State, Draymond Jones. What can you tell us about Draymond Jones?
Saw him play a couple times last year. Saw him play a couple times over the last couple of seasons. Got more playing time last year when Bosa got the injury and decided not to play anymore. Not playing Bosa's spot, but got more time because Bosa was out and they moved somebody else to play Bosa's spot and Draymond filled in on the inside. As far as fitting in with a 3-4 defense, I think to be a 3-4 defensive end, he may be a little light at 281.
Okay.
He's got some size as far as height, and what, 6'3"? So carrying too much more weight may be difficult for him. He does a lot of things well. I think his best attribute is his ability to run. Sometimes, say a guy, think about how many times last year Pekka was playing nose guard, but then he's making a play out there on the sideline. He's got that kind of range, but much quicker. So he's a guy who's going to make plays not just in the tackle box, but he's going to make plays outside of that.
Okay.
So if he's on the field, he's going to be running. He's going to make some plays. Run defense gives me concerns because of his lack of size, but I think he's a more than capable interior pass rusher. He's played a little bit on the outside, but that's not his strong suit. You're not going to win a whole lot of ball games if he's your primary outside rusher, which is fine because this team has two great outside rushers.
Does he make sense for the Broncos to look at? What are we talking about? Third, fourth round here?
I see a fit like that there, yes.
Okay.
But as a 4-3 possible defensive end, I think he may have more appeal to some other teams who may pick him up earlier.
Okay. What adjustments do you think in this department Fangio brings to the table? Like, when you were watching the Bears sort of in this defensive line area, well, what would you see differently with Fangio's Bears than with the Broncos?
He's a linebacker coach. And as a linebacker coach, who do you want to highlight? Your linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
So now defensive linemen, you're not asking them to penetrate and get upfield and create chaos in the backfield. This is what my linebackers do.
Okay.
Hold your gap. Tie up a few blocks. Give my linebackers a chance to get downhill.
Don't need you to be a superstar.
We don't need you to be a playmaker. You make these other guys make plays. So I think that's going to be a bit of a transition for, say, a guy like Derek Wolfe, who certainly does a good job when he's asked to hold the gap. But for that to shift into your primary responsibility.
It's pretty tough. You're going to have to, your numbers aren't going to look great.
Your numbers are not going to look great, but you can be well respected around the league and all of that.
Okay, but if your numbers don't look great and you're asked to do this thing, then can somebody else do that thing just as well at a much cheaper price?
Well, since you're reducing the importance of true playmaking ability, then, yeah, you can probably get by with a truly lesser player who's able to fill the gap, hold his area, tie up blocks.
Well, we'll dig deeper into Vic Fangio and his draft strategy when we come back.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, Chad Brown. Ed McCaffrey will be in studio with
Eddie
us.
Mac.
Eddie Mac at 5 o'clock. Look forward to having Eddie here.
Now, you know, Ed and I, we used to battle on the field.
Is that right?
You know, because he was that inside receiver, you know, a lot of times being asked to block that linebacker, hopefully to...
Really?
If Terrell Davis got through the line of scrimmage so that it could turn to a big run for TD. He was a lot of the big reasons why TD got some of those big runs.
So he was just constantly blindsiding you.
He had this thing.
Are those blocks illegal now? I mean, are you matching up with him face-to-face?
He was not doing blindsided, dirty blocks. But for whatever reason, his blocks tended to go below my waist in an area I just wasn't very comfortable with. And I'd be like, dude, come on, man.
You would have moments on the field like that.
There's like... There's about a 10-inch circle here that just shouldn't be touched. Block me. Just get physical. We going to battle all game long, homeboy.
Mm-hmm. Is this getting to your Anaconda possible nickname?
Yes, just stay away from that. We can still be friends when I see you in Denver in the offseason, man. You're jeopardizing the friendship.
And how did that settle itself out?
He, in a very rare on-the-field move, which I've probably can list on one hand, apologized.
Get out of here.
Like a couple plays later, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to hit you there. That's just how it's... I'm trying to block you. You're a good player. It's very hard to block you.
I'm not wearing any pads. I you know, you're slippery.
Yeah, and
you
I was like, wow.
You're the anaconda.
I just thought, that's interesting. It worked. It diffused me. I was like, wow, that's a really effective tool. So I stole it from him.
Just apologize to people.
I mean, apologize. Hey,
I'm
man.
So sorry.
I'm sorry about that out there.
And then you try to blow his head up.
Yeah, the very next play. I'm like, gotcha. You fell for the okey-doke, dummy.
But we all learned from Nikola Jokic. You just
bounce a little bit. Hop up.
Yeah,
that's the old Serbian way, right?
Right? Yeah. Serbian style. Well, we look forward to having that in. That should be a lot of fun to go through that sort of stuff. Vic Fangio says he prefers to evaluate draft prospects on his own first, rather than collectively. Let's hear that, Vic.
There's really not a lot of clarity there right now. You know, we worked Kareem there this week, but that was really for the workload part of it, what we wanted to do with him. But other than that, it's, you know, it's wide open.
How much is Vic Fangio, do you think, going to be involved with the draft at all, Chad? What would you hope that his percentage of involvement is?
Wow, that's a good question. I would hope that at this point there have been detailed meetings about his defense, about his philosophies, and what he's looking for from players. The scouts and the coaches and the scheme, they have to marry up. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Steelers have been such a long-term successful team, because those scouts know exactly what they're looking for. We want this kind of outside linebacker. We want this kind of safety. And they're able to walk into, or coaches can walk into that Steeler scouting room, and there's no question about the desires and hopes, what they hope to bring in position-wise.
How much influence do you think VJ had over the past couple of years?
Influence? Hopefully there was conversations like I just talked about, but influence, given some of the other things that we've heard, probably not a whole lot.
Yeah, I guess I'm guessing almost nothing.
But I'm hoping someone like Vic, with his, seriously, a bookshelf of encyclopedia football experience.
Yeah.
That is valued in the Broncos scouting conversations.
Yeah.
And while he may not get a chance to actually go out and pick the groceries, he's describing what he's looking for and what he needs for his defense to be successful in a very no-nonsense Vic Fangio way that he's already been with the media. So it's clear when he walks out of that room, this is what my outside linebackers look like. This is what my three technique looks like. This is what my nose guard looks like. And there's no doubt about that.
And Donatell, of course, this is, you know, they are a team.
Right-hand man, no doubt about it.
They are a team. And so you would assume as a team, they probably see things pretty similar. That would make logical sense, right?
You would hope not perfectly, because I think disagreement is good.
But philosophically, don't you think they're on the same page?
They should be on the same page, yes.
Here's Donatell talking about, you know, valuing three down linebackers.
You've heard people talk about it, you know, that passing games are different in college, so there is more projection. And it takes, you know, great work from your scouts and coaches to find those guys.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah today, too, was speculating about T.J. Hockenson in the first round, like number 10 for the Broncos. And hearing Donatell say, hey, yeah, it's different in college. It is. And I've watched a bunch of T.J. Hockenson tape, and it's impressive. But the absurd amount of space that this guy has had to catch footballs compared to the NFL is it's in outer space. So it just is like, I was looking at the tight ends today. I was over there, and they all look exactly the same. It's kind of crazy. They're all bigger. They all look like they're the best, you know, pickup basketball player you could imagine.
Oh, yeah. They can dunk on you. They can run the court.
Dude,
they can make you miss. They can dribble around you.
They're taller than all the other wide receivers. They're bigger than they're not as fast. But if we're playing half-court hoops, these guys are going to dominate.
Crush you.
You don't have a chance.
No.
Like, you're pretty big at 6'3". You'd be way undersized as a tight end.
Yeah.
Way undersized.
I'm thinking 6'4 minimum. I'm looking for 6'5, 6'6.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's just not that much space out there. And basically because the linebackers in the NFL are just, it's a different level than in college football.
It is, and that's why I think for NFL tight ends, height is what creates space for you. Now it doesn't have to be 3 yards of separation. Just throw it up, and I can go up and get it.
That's why, like, Hockenson, it's just so hard for me to just buy in on taking a tight end at 10.
I think he presents a value as a player that's worthy of the 10th pick, but you have to be willing, if you're going to invest that pick and that value, you have to be willing to bend your offense to make the tight end a big part of it. He's got to be targeted, you know, not 30 or 40 times a year. You've got to be targeted 60,
just
70 times a year.
I'm trying to figure out, well, what makes this one guy, T.J. Hockenson, so much better than the three guys the Broncos have in the minicamp now? Like, what makes him so much better than Hyerman, who's a big tall guy, Fumagalli, who's a big tall guy, and Hemingway, who's a big tall. These are three guys I've been looking at for the past 3 days. I'm like, what exactly does this guy present that's so much more special than these dudes? And I just don't know what it is.
Fumagalli, I watched him a number of times. I called a number of Wisconsin games over the last few years. Really good player. Fantastic player. Wisconsin runs the heck out of the ball. Very willing blocker. Hockenson is just an upgrade in size, in athleticism.
Oh.
Tenacity as a blocker.
And by the way, I'm not even mentioning Jake Butt because he's there.
Right.
But he's just not – but he is there.
Right.
Who is as big and as athletic and as tall as any of them. Maybe more so.
But all three of those guys who you mentioned, and you add Jake Butt in there, they've got significant question marks on them. So I see the appeal. I understand the value in Hockenson. I just don't think they are ready to shift their offense in a way that would most take advantage of that pick. When you've got these young receivers, when you got this young running back, now you just can't go 75 balls to a tight end. There's only one ball to go around in the course of a ball game.
When we come back, Nikki Jabala from The Athletic and our Broncos insider breaks down what has happened over the past 3 days and some revelations we did not expect. Nikki has the inside scoop next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we're joined by Nikki Jabala of The Athletic, our exclusive fan Broncos insider. It's great to have you on, Nikki. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, listen, break it down to me in terms of we had OTAs and now this veteran voluntary mini camp. What is left here? What else do we have? More workouts? Is there another sort of camp? What is the agenda here?
Yeah, you get the next phase of OTA, then you have mandatory mini camp. They're going to have some sort of rookie orientation or mini camp immediately after the draft. So there's still quite a bit left. This is a very, very early phase where guys are just getting back together in the weight room and doing a little bit on the field.
But are they going to be on the field as much as they have been in the past 3 days, like next week or in 2 weeks? Or is this kind of unique in terms of how much time they did spend on the field together over the past 3 days?
They'll have a bit of a break here as, you know, they kind of shift focus to the draft. That's the coaches in front office, and then, you know, the rookies come in. So this is kind of like a little cram session.
Gotcha.
Before they really begin the OTAs, and then they have the mandatory camp and the veterans report for that, and that's more on-field work.
What's the biggest takeaway you learned from the past 3 days?
I thought it was interesting just seeing how the new coaching staff operates and how they run their practices. They're pretty seamless. And not to knock Vance Joseph, but it was a departure from what we've seen in the last couple of years and that there was always something going. Great, we only got to see the first 30 minutes or so, but, you know, they had the offense going in the field house and the defense working on one of the fields outside. And they were going the whole time. So it's neat to see how they operated as a group, how they handled the positions, just their style. It looked like a lot more teaching, which is kind of the focus of this period anyway, and, you know, trying to install part of the defense and then also teaching technique and seeing how guys can handle all the information on the field.
Joe Flacco impressions, Nikki. What do you think?
I mean, I thought he looked good. I mean, what he's doing out there is very minimal stuff, like, you know, basically throwing with a trainer and then, you know, throwing routes with his receiving core, which does not include Emmanuel Sanders right now. But I think he looks good. I mean, there is a noticeable difference when you're watching him versus, you know, some of the other quarterbacks I've had in recent years. He looks polished, and I thought one of the most impressive things from him was when he talked to us, which was on Tuesday. And, you know, I think he's generally regarded as kind of having a flat personality, not much of a rah-rah guy, right? But I thought he actually showed some fire, you know, that he really wants to prove that he's a guy and that he's a quarterback for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think it sets up some interesting speculation for the draft. We just talked about Draymond Jones and the concept of picking some sort of defensive lineman, Nikki. What are you hearing or what are your impressions about what they might do in that department?
I think it kind of all depends what happens above them. I mean, we're in that phase of the pre-draft speculation where, you know, prospects are moving up and down within the hour. So, you know, from one so-called expert, you're hearing that Dwayne Haskins will fall to them at number 10, and how could they pass it up? Another saying, there's no way Haskins will be there. Others saying, you know, if Devin White's there, you got to take him.
Right.
So I think a lot of options are still on the table right now. I think, you know, you kind of wonder what would they do in certain scenarios if Haskins does fall. But, you know, if he doesn't, as most assume, I could easily see them taking a defender. I mean, especially with Vic Fangio and his staff now, the focus is primarily on the defense, it seems. Yes, you got Flacco and you're trying to revamp that group, but this is a defensive-first coaching staff, and they need to get a lot better on that side of the ball.
How did the Broncos do attendance-wise for this minicamp?
All but two. So Chris Harris was out, of course, with the contract dispute. Craig Mager, another cornerback, he was there for the early part of the offseason program, but he wasn't there this week, and they the Broncos waived him today.
Okay.
So those were the only two absentees, but, you know, Bryce Callahan, who was limited, and then the four guys who are still rehabbing.
And by the way, one thing we learned, we learn little things. There's a lot of little things, death by inches, right? We learn little things as we go. We learned that Vic Fangio probably wears gray sweatpants and a gray sweatshirt the vast majority of his life. We learned that. And we learned that one of his pet peeves his entire coaching career is that in practice, everybody wears practice shirts that are different than game shirts. And this has probably been one of those little things, Nikki, that is bugging him his whole life, that why don't you practice in the same type of shirts that you play games in?
Yeah. That was one of the things when asked, you know, when you could become head coach, what was one thing you changed? And he mentioned this because the tighter jerseys, it makes it harder for guys to grab on them. Little nuanced things. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he lives in sweatsuits. I would like to as well. I don't have that luxury, unfortunately.
I think all of us would love to put on the gray hoodie, the loose gray sweatpants, let the potato chips just drip down our chest, and sort of take the dog out for a walk, get the newspaper, get your coffee, and just rinse and repeat day after day after day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've come pretty close to that lifestyle in recent weeks, but, you know, I still got to draw the line somewhere.
All right, Nikki, any final takeaways from these 3 days? Anything that you noticed, even from big things to small things, anything else?
I thought one of the things that was interesting today was the fact that Kareem Jackson, they had him playing safety the entire time at minicamp because there's much more to learn at safety. He's played much of his career at corner. But where he lines up in the season could change, you know, week to week. But I thought that was interesting. They really wanted to get him comfortable at that position.
All right, Nikki, great job. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic, our fan Broncos insider, and we are ready to roll with our fan war room on Wednesday. That draft special is going to be a blast to be at. If you're the fourth caller right now, you can win a pair of VIP tickets, 303-713-1043. We'd love to see you. The food is going to be provided by Brothers Barbecue. They always do such a great job, so let's dig into it. I know the mock drafts. What do the mock drafts mean? And there's a new fun one out there. I love them. D-Mock, that's right. You can call me that. Plus, Ed McCaffrey in studio. All still to come right here on The Drive.